Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Church, hallelujah. Please, can you make you stay here? I'm feeling a little bit hot, you know. Can you make you just stay and stay here? Hallelujah. Tonight, I just have an hour. I'm trusting God that I'll be able to be through for this session in an hour. I don't know. I was saying somebody, I have enough materials to do a 4-hour teaching. I'm just trusting God that the Lord will help me to pick the right scriptures and the right emphasis that is going to be important for us in the present and the future, in the name of Jesus. I want to continue what I started last time. I think we've had about 2 or 3 weeks interregnum of the break. So I want to remind us that I'm talking to us about the attributes of the kingdom, or rather I want to talk to us again about the emblems of power. What makes a kingdom powerful? How do you recognize a powerful king? What are the things you look for to say, wow, this is a king? Praise the Lord. And the first thing I spoke about the last time I came up was I talked to us that every kingdom has dominion. It has a place where its word is power. When it speaks, it holds fast. Everyone recognizes his word in that sphere. Praise the Lord. In Nigeria, the presidency is more powerful than the president. Hallelujah. Do you understand? We didn't vote for the presidency. We voted for a president. But it is always the presidency that speaks. Praise God. And God help you. You don't listen. DSS will be knocking your door very soon. Amen. Because he has what it takes to enforce his dominion. And I explained to us that what actually Jesus came to restore to us, amen, was primarily not salvation. That may shock you. People tell us that the greatest thing that God did was saving us. I don't disprove that. But that is not the end game. That is not the purpose. As it were, the ultimate purpose. Praise God. When you play, let us say you play a game like chess, it may become necessary during the course of the game to sacrifice a few of your powerful pieces. Now, if the person playing against you is unaware about the rules of engagement, he believes he has undone you. Are you with me? Because he has taken some of your powerful pieces on the board. But you see, you sacrifice those pieces with the intention of getting a better advantage later on in the game. Praise God. Because the ultimate purpose of the game is to take his king. Amen. And so you must not lose focus of your ultimate purpose. The beginning of the whole process is salvation. Amen. The ultimate purpose is dominion. Praise God. That is where we are going. And I want us to look at, Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. I'll just go over some scriptures. I'll be reading a lot of scriptures tonight. Daniel 7 verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. In the present world system we are living in, there are thrones. Amen. There are what? There are thrones. And where you find thrones, there are dominions. Because when you hear throne, there's a dominion involved. Hallelujah. Because we cannot speak about a kingdom if there is no dominion. So I saw thrones cast down. Every fierce of this life, there are thrones that govern it. And the Bible says, I beheld them cast down. And the Ancient of Days, what did he do? He sat. He said he did sit, but he sat. Hallelujah. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. And his throne. Everybody say his throne. I'm talking tonight about thrones. I'm talking about thrones. But one of the major emblems, anytime you are encountering a kingdom and you are talking about the king, you cannot but see and take a look at his throne. The majesty of a kingdom is portrayed via the construction of a throne. Praise God. In the physical world, there are emblems. For example, how does the American president project power? Amen. Number one, the kind of plane he flies is not your natural plane. Praise God. His plane is a flying fortress. It has all kinds of anti-missile, anti-jamming. Every technology you can conceptualize is inside that plane. Though it looks like a 747, but it is a fortress. Amen. Air Force One is not like your normal Nigerian Air Force One. Praise God. The limousine of the American president is projecting dominion. The door, I understand, they call the car that he drives beast. The door is as big as this. It's armored. A bomb cannot overthrow it. If you throw a bomb, the car will just stay. All the personal security that guards the king, they are all assassins. In fact, the driver himself is a major assassin. He's Jack Bauer. Praise God. That means if you attempt to kill all his security guards, you will have to now face his personal driver. Whom you think is a driver, but is himself gone, assassin. Praise God. So everything about him is projecting power. And we saw that in Solomon. Solomon was the ultimate king that you can think of. Everything about Solomon was glorious. He was projecting excellence. He was projecting something beyond this realm. His throne, when you look at the throne, the design of his throne, the pure gold. It was not gold-plated. So if they plate you or something, we know that some of us that wear 7-carat gold earring, we know it was gold-plated. Praise God. Abby? I know you don't wear your ring. One by an idea. We know it is gold-plated. Because nobody will put pure gold on your hair. And thieves will not come and visit you. Praise God. That's why they don't visit our houses. Because we know that everything you have is gold-plated. Or you know that one we used to put that looks like diamond. We know it's fake. It's not even glass. It's rubber. It's plastic something. Let them put one gem of diamond on it. And you wear it. By the grace of God, they will look for you.
So you can imagine the way his throne was constructed. The lions that sat, it was projecting dominion. Hallelujah. So you appreciate the excellency and the power of a king by the throne he sits upon. Hallelujah. And so the Bible said of our king here that we saw him sit on the throne and he began to describe his appearance. Hallelujah. They say his throne was like what? Fiery flame. And his wheels as burning fire. Honestly speaking, I can't imagine it. Is it possible to have a throne that has wheels? I don't know. Maybe there's something else the prophet saw. I didn't see. I can't imagine what he was talking about here. Praise God. But the Bible spoke about it in Ezekiel as that the throne of God can be carried. And they were carried by some beings. That fire is like, you know, not roll inside fire. When you read those scriptures, you wonder, what kind of beast? And they have eyes round about and fire. Praise God. No one has those kind of thrones anywhere in the whole known realm of existence. Only God has this throne. So that sets him apart. Hallelujah. And that takes me directly to something that is very important about kingdoms and thrones. Every time you come across the word throne, you will understand that it is associated with judgment. Hallelujah. Because we cannot look at thrones for the sake of just it's a seat. It's not like a seat. Amen. I don't understand. Do you understand? You see, it's like a judge is not a judge if he stands in court. Do you understand me? A judge in full regalia comes into court and stands and begins to pronounce judgment. His judgment will be invalid. I don't know whether you understand me. What gives that judgment validity is that he must be seated on a seat designated for judgment. Do you understand me? So that's why he comes into court, the court clerk to say, all right, the justice so and so presiding. And when he comes and sits, he says, you can all sit. He said, judgment will begin. The seat is a seat of judgment. Hallelujah. Especially in all the testaments, both old and new. However, to us, it morphed from a seat of judgment to a seat of mercy. I don't know whether you understand me. But nevertheless, it's still a seat of judgment. Amen. It depends on what you are coming to do. Some insects beat me outside there. And it's really itching me. And, for example, the Bible says that promotion does not come from the east. It doesn't come from where? From the west. And doesn't come from where? The south. He says, but God is what? His judge. He raises one up and at the same time, what does he do? He casts the other down. So when you're coming before God, praise God. That seat that is called the seat of judgment for you is also the seat of mercy and grace. In releasing grace, judgment is involved. I don't know whether you understand me. Judgment is involved. Because they must judge you. That's why you cannot approach that throne without mercy. Because it is technically designed for judgment. Amen. Because if you continue that after, and he sat, and the books were open. And they began to judge out of the books. Praise the Lord. So it's a place of judgment. And you remember that when Solomon ascended the throne and sat on his, and sat, the first act, official act of Solomon recorded for us, what was he doing? He was judging. He was judging between two women. And after that judgment, the Bible says, and his fame went abroad. Praise God. So you must understand why it is so, so, so important. When the Bible began to make these promises, look at the book of Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 20-22. Revelation 3, 20-22.
said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me. Where? Where? In my throne. Even as I also overcame, I sat down with my Father in his throne. 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto who? To the churches. Look at Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon what? 12 thrones. What will you be doing on the thrones? Taking selfies? What will you be doing? Singing psalms and hymns? Eh? Oh, you'll be drumming and be jumping up and down? What will you be doing? You'll be judging. So the whole essence of your upbringing, the whole essence of your training is to prepare you to know how to judge. That is why you don't bring novice to the Supreme Court. Praise God. You don't bring non-entities to sit on the bench. You bring men and women who know their onions. Praise God. Who by reason can discern and separate good from evil. Now, let me ask the question. If you were Solomon and they brought that case to you, let us assume you don't have the benefit of hindsight. How would you have judged the case? Two women gave birth on the same day. I don't know how their husbands did it, that they pregnated them on the same day and they gave birth on the same day and they lived in the same house and one died. Praise God. How would you have judged it? Praise God. If some of you say, well, this woman comes from my village. I think all our family are called. Do you follow me? So when the Bible says that by reason of use, you have learned to exercise that capacity to judge, it is going to be useful if you are going to come to this place. They didn't just put it there for Christian religious activity. It is something critical that you must learn how to judge righteous judgments. Amen. Because you must come into that place where you must sit down and judge. So as I overcame, you should also overcome and sit and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. So the summons is dominion. The summons is the kingdom. The summons that you also are being called to sit. And the seat is not to take selfie, the seat is to come and walk. Praise God. Remember when Moses was judging? Talk about the seat of Moses. Did you ever come across that? The seat of what? What do you think that seat meant? It was judgment. So you sit in Moses' seat and you judge. And you began to put all kinds of things upon people. He told them, pay attention to what they say. Don't do what they do. Why? Because as long as they sit in Moses' seat and pronounce judgment, is binding on you. You can't say, you see it yesterday now. How can you be wrong? If you see it too, you cannot jump. What? That's not the issue. The point is that once you sit on that seat, is binding. You can't do anything. Praise God. That is one of the major issues about kingdom matters that you and I must never overlook. And that's why when a person who has the authority to make pronouncements, you have to be careful what you do and how you respond to those things. Praise God. Many of us, we look at the kingdom, when we look at ourselves, all we see is just, he's not Pastor Danson. He's just wearing one shirt and one jeans. What's the big deal? He comes and says something. That is his opinion. You forget that he's sitting in the spirit realm in judgment. Once a pronouncement is made and the leadership of the house agrees with it and it is done,
If you go against it, you are in transgression. I don't know whether you understand me. So you must understand that everything about the kingdom is about authority and it's about thrones and about judgments. Amen. When Paul was writing, he said, look, I received this of the Lord Jesus. And he pronounced it. So when he said he received from Jesus and spoke, it was a judgment. It was not an idea. Amen. He now said, I didn't hear God tell me, but as somebody who has found mercy and favor with God, this is my position. That position is a judgment. It's binding on us. Hallelujah. I don't know whether I'm making sense to us. So the Bible speaks about judgment that is related to the kingdom. And that's why the Bible says in Psalm 1, is it 149? Can we go to 149? Where he began to speak. Is it 149? It's 149. Praise God. You know where that, the when he wrote those scriptures? Think of it for the hand. He said, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints, verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let Jerusalem be joyful in their king. 3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise unto him with the timbrel and harp. 4. For the Lord keepeth, taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand, to do what with? To execute what? Vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. Said, this honor of all his saints, praise ye the Lord. Many of us have not grown to understand that we sit in the realm of the spirit. You know, I told you of a testimony of a brother or two brothers that were conducting deliverance. And the demon-possessed person turned to them and said, where are you standing? And the first guy, hasty to talk, said, I'm on my 2 feet. I'm on my feet. Is it 2 feet or my two feet, Abby? Uh-huh. The feet itself is plural. Is it 2 foot? Praise God. And the demon-possessed person issued the correct head brain resetting slaps. Praise God. In the natural, he was standing. And he answered from the natural perspective. And that got him punished. And he turned to the other brother, why are you standing? And the guy replied, he said, I'm not standing. He said, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities, power, and might, and dominion. Praise God. And when he said that, that spirit submitted to him. And he said, come out of him. And that spirit left. What was the difference? They were brethren. They were born again, spirit-filled, blood-washed. What are the other things? We speaking tongues, sanctified. But one lacked understanding. Because technically you are not standing. Technically you and I are what? We are sitting. For that is the Bible, we are supposed to execute what? The judgments that are written. When Elijah came, Elijah just did not shut up the heavens because he liked shutting heavens. You don't understand. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, God has specified specific judgments for specific transgressions. Amen. We're specific. If you go back, if you do this, I will close the heavens. The heavens will be brass over you. I will not send rain. And God said all those things. And you know why Elijah could say, the Lord, before whom I stand? It was because Elijah had been standing before God for God knows how long and asking for God for permission to execute the judgment written. He went to the throne to ask for permission to execute judgment. And when they granted him permission to go, he went to meet Ahab. I said, by my word, there shall be no rain. Who are you that you are talking? No. Another king had appeared. And he had pronounced judgment in the earth realm. Praise the Lord. Because we are dealing with kingdoms. And there's nothing about kingdom if there is no judgment. All you'll be doing is that you are playing hide and seek, boju boju. That's what we are doing in the churches, because we don't understand what we are handling. We are called here to execute the judgments written. But when you are not even familiar with what is written, how can you execute the judgment? How can you command and say, let this be so? It cannot be so. Praise the Lord. Are we okay? Praise the Lord. Now, let me move on to the second thing I want to say. The other thing is the issue of scepter. You know what they call scepters? It's called the staff of office. What is the purpose of a staff? Let us talk about the earthly realm. Every time a person is coronated and declared to be a king, there are things they will give him. They will give him a crown and what? A staff of office. For God, I've never heard anywhere in the whole Bible that God has a crown. You carry only crown. Because nobody is able to look at his face, talk less of looking at what he is. We all that we read that his hair is as white as what? As wool. But we also know the Bible talks about light. It's covered with light. Hallelujah. So, when he made Adam, remember, he said, what is man that is mindful of him? Do you know where that place is, Dickie? Psalm 8, verse 6, right? Let's look at it. Because many of us, when we hear crown, we look at that thing that we put on our heads. But it's not necessarily so in the realm of the spirit. Praise God. For God, though, not, I'm not talking about, of course, for you and I don't know, I've not seen you, but I know that we are going to have crowns. Praise God. Whether the crown is metaphorical, whether the crown is crown, I don't know. But Paul said that there's a crown of glory waiting for me. Me, I don't know how the crown will be. Praise God. Maybe it will be like that one. When a woman wants to wed, that thing they will put on their head. They will do as if they are virgin. They put on their head. Then you say, only crown. You more. Say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I forgot, I have the better one here. And the son of man that thou visited in verse 5, he said, for thou had made him a little lower than the angels, and what did you crown him with? When they made Adam in Genesis, did they tell us that there was a crown on his head? But here we are reading that there was a crown, he was crowned. So what kind of crown did he have? Huh? He had glory, and he had what? Honor. When he ate the fruit, that crown of glory, that crown of honor was taken off him. Praise God. And he became exposed. So what enabled him to rule, that what enabled him to exercise dominion was the crown upon him, which was called glory and honor. Praise God. Are you with me? Then there is something else that comes with it. It's called the scepter of righteousness. Look at Psalm. Let's look at this psalm. Praise the Lord. Okay, Psalm 45 verse 6 and Hebrews 1, 8. 45 verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Now look at how it was rendered in Hebrews 1:8. It says, unto the Son is yes. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Psalm said, your scepter is right. Hebrew said, it is a scepter of what? Righteousness. In other words, scepter is a staff of office. Your instruments. It's one of those things that makes us know you are a king. Praise God. Without a staff. See, that staff is as good as the king himself is present. Praise God. During your wedding, if your king cannot come of your town or village, you have, is it your place? Is it a town or a village? It's a village. It's so called. You can't have a king. You must have ballet. Who has a king? Eh? Your king has crown, beaded crown from Efe. It's not a king, it's a ballet. Who has a king? Which one? Akureya. Akureya, is he a king? Is it that one? If that one see the Oba of Ife, okay. Let us agree. For the sake of this discussion, we agree he's a king. Praise God. Amen. No way, it's king. Don't go to the Oba. Don't go to the palace and say, who are you there? Honestly, God will deliver you. Sir? Even. So, any case. So what completes, if he's unable to come for your wedding, he sends the staff. That staff is as good as him present. Praise God. Why is that so? I don't know. I don't understand the tradition, but that is how we meant it. Amen. That tells us that that staff itself is as powerful as the king. Praise God. For Jesus, a staff of office that authorizes him to reign on that seat, that authorizes him to do whatever he's going to do and how he's going to do it, is called righteousness. Because if he fails to do righteousness, he has voided the covenant that establishes his permission to sit on that seat. Do you understand me? You cannot violate the covenant, because it's as if that staff is the covenant between the king and his subjects. It's what gives him right. He's not just sitting on the seat, but you have the staff, the authorization to rule as kabios. Praise God. And when he's coming into the palace, that guy goes before him with the staff. Amen. You'll never see a king go without a staff. Because if he goes without a staff, he does not have authorization to operate in that area. Because it is that staff that gives him authorization to show I am a king. Amen. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Am I making sense? Praise God. So you and I need to understand that what gives Jesus permission or right to do anything in the universe is because of righteousness. Thy scepter is righteousness. It's not as though he carries a stick around the whole place. No. By the virtue of the fact that he's said, thou art loved righteousness. And that's one thing that we do need to understand about Jesus. He loves, many of us think that Jesus, everything about Jesus is love. As loving as Jesus is, he's also, it can be very hateful. Do you understand that? Said so that love righteousness and had hated, as he loved righteousness, he has equally hated wickedness. Many of us, we love righteousness and we accommodate wickedness because we are a people of love. We just love you. We cannot hate you. We cannot hate you. Just, we can accommodate you. You will never, never come into the place of your glory. Because you must love righteousness and hate iniquity as your own father loves righteousness and hate iniquity. That is why he has the permission to bear the authority of the Christos. Amen. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. You should, but God will help us. So when you stand in righteousness, automatically you are standing in dominion. You are standing in authority. There is no demon in hell that can match or challenge a man that is righteous. Praise God. Do you understand? Once you compromise your right standing and they can detect in you a love for wickedness, your disposition is already compromised. I've heard of stories of people wanted to do deliverance and the demon looked at them. You know the seven sons of Sceva? When they said, "We command you, I told in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, come out of the man." And I could imagine the demon was, maybe was doing something and I looked up like this, you know, started from the down. I looked up. I looked like that. I looked like that. I laughed. "Are you talking to me?" And they said, "Yes, it is you we are talking to." I said, "Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But exactly, who are you baggers?" Why? Because they had no scepter to take there. Nothing that gave them the right to speak. Praise God. So in the realm of the spirit, righteousness is a scepter. The Bible speaks about the breastplate of what? Of righteousness. Yes. There's a breastplate of righteousness when you are going to war. But there's in judgment and in doing things, there must be what? Scepter of righteousness. So what gives Jesus that right to project power, to project authority, is righteousness. Amen. The other thing I want to say, because time is going. Look at Revelation 20, verse 4. Hallelujah. Okay, that's still like buttressing the issue of thrones, but I've left the issue of thrones. But let me just go for it. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon it, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ," what? "For 1,000 years. Please, pay attention to the word reign. 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 I don't know whether you, like me, has ever taken time to ask questions that what are we going to be doing when we get to heaven? When I was growing, I learned this song. I don't know how many of you learned it. "When we get to heaven, at the marriage supper, all saints shall gather. Ah, the fine assembly, Emo." Tony, you're looking at me like I dropped out of the sky. Amen. Who knows the song? You are no SU. You are an SU. Who else was an SU like me? And the rest of you? Ah, Kai. Say, even you too don't know the song. Ah. Praise God. So all I knew was the 7-year reign. The 7 years they're going to be eating and whining. And I was like, is that all that is into this, that's in this thing for us? Then it came up and said that we shall be singing and praising God. And I was like, I will be doing that one for all of eternity. Wouldn't that be boring? I mean, I spend my life here boring, like the life here is boring. You know, being an SU, you know, some of you say, "Pastor is very boring." Some of you have said in your heart, I can read your heart, hallelujah. And you think it's going to be like that in heaven? I don't really think so. I think there's going to be a lot of activities for all of eternity that you'll joyfully be engaged. Praise God. And the Bible says that one of the greatest things, in fact, one of the major things is that we are going to reign. And reign typifies that, what is reign? Reign. We're going to run a government. We're going to be running a government. Every kingdom has a government. Praise God. And the way his own government is arranged, praise God. You're going to have, I don't know, I'm not going to go into all this. I want to avoid going into that. I don't want to enter that trap. But there's a father is there. The Bible talks about the 4 and the 20 elders that are seated. Praise God. Then there will be thrones. Praise God. Because we read it there. "And I saw thrones." The people that are sitting on those thrones are not angels. So when Paul said that, why is it that both of you cannot settle a matter? That you are still quarreling. Is there no
wise man amongst you that can settle the quarrel between two brothers, must you carry yourself to go and meet unbelievers to judge a case for you, knowing that all of you will one day sit and judge angels? You know what it is to judge angels? That means you call him and say, "Bro, Mike, it might be no. What? Oh, God. I forgot to say. It might be no, but by the eye of a priest, go accurate. The match is Jekyll. Be 1.5 degrees. And it might be no, sir." But you are reigning, you are judging. So judgment is not, you are a sinner. Ah, I'm going to punish. No, no, no. That's not what I'm talking about here. Praise God. Well, I give that here. But when we get to that place, because you see, your decision making will be razor sharp. If there's a laser sharp, is there anything sharper than laser beam? You are going to be just sharp. Praise God. But I believe it's going to be a strata. Some will be so blessed that they'll be gatekeepers. Amen. So between the gates and those who sit on the thrones, we saw 24 thrones, Abby. The 12 apostles, I believe it's the 12 apostles sitting on that throne. Praise God. I believe it's the apostles that are sitting on the throne. Do you know that Jesus told Agin? Agin believed that only 13 apostles were mentioned in the New Testament. I just got to say the 24 apostles were mentioned in the New Testament, and they were all Jews. He said he doesn't believe it, and just began to show him scriptures. And they were mentioning them, 24 of them. I don't know who is sitting there, but remember they said that my son may sit on your right and your left. He said it's not mine to give, but I've reserved for certain people. So I believe certain people, because those 24 said that you redeemed us amongst men with your blood. So there are men that were redeemed. Those are one category of people. There's another one category, 144,000, that did not defile themselves with women. They follow the Lamb wherever it will go. That's another category. Then there's a category from Israel, 144, from all the 12 tribes of Israel. Then there are multiples you cannot number, of every tongue, language, ethnicities, and they were all there. They were all going to have thrones. So between those who will be at the gate and those who will be 24 that will be sitting there, and those who will be judging Israel, all of us will fill the blank spaces. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you actually, let me tell you the truth. You actually earn that through. It's not given by grace. Was it grace? Should we say grace? No, it's not grace. What is not grace? Because actually you earn it by grace. Praise God. But then, there's an effort involved. It's not whatever you do here on earth that will determine where you will sit. If you have not invested anything in the kingdom, and you are born again, and you shall cross over, I made it, hallelujah. You just say, God bless you. There's no crown. I guess that may be why the Bible says, and they will wipe away their tear. If I had known, God, give me one. Delete. Can't go back. Then they will cry. Then they wipe their tear. I understand. Don't worry. Just. But I don't know whether we will remember the pain. I don't think there will be pain thereafter. Praise the Lord. But somehow, guys will cry. Is it not possible that some of us will say, I go down and preach with that by my king now? But, Lord, if I will, I will just put a little more effort. That's why you need grace. Say, Lord, help me. That I may do what I'm supposed to do. But some of you have never made one sacrifice one day. And you want to sit on that throne and be judging Israel. It's not going to work. Those 12 guys that followed Jesus and suffered martyrdom, you think, he said, they asked him, Lord, we have left all to follow you. What's our gain? Said you will get, what did he promise? You will get father, if you lose your father and mother, I will give you father, I will give you mother. I'll give you wife, not wives. I'll give you wife. And one husband. Amen. Then he added persecution. Shocker. And that one, the day I saw it, I was not happy. But I could not remove it from Bible. Then, and of course, you will have thrones to sit on. So it's your sacrifice
that determines whether you sit there or you don't sit on one. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can we move on? I want to bring this. Praise God.
Now, there's another thing that makes a king powerful. Proverbs 14:28.
It's called the people. Everybody say people.
I don't really know
the population of Kano. But I know that Kano's population is fake. And it's a fake population.
But because they have inflated the population of Kano, it's as if the man is sitting over a large number of people. And for that reason, is that thing somehow intimidates. If he comes along and he and Oba Akure should sit down, Oba Akure will be intimidated. I don't know whether you understand. Oba Akure cannot project power because the people from Akure are not wealthy. I don't know whether you follow me. If the people of Akure are wealthy, the kind of jeep he's riding is not what they will give him. They will buy him a limousine. Not a limousine. They will buy him a Rolls Royce. When a man comes out a Rolls Royce and his dispatch riders are riding a BMW, you know those heavy super gang. And there are four of them here with all the paraphernalia of power. If he comes down, you yourself will say, what did the or do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, when the enemy of Kano is coming, all kinds of things are coming with him. You don't understand. What makes him powerful is not that he has a for share him out. Praise God. It's the people he commands. I will not forget the story pastor told me of something that happened in the days of Babangida. One guy in the military, Navy. He did something that everybody was crying. And Babangida didn't say anything. So he went to Rivers to visit. So the guy was among those who came to meet him. And Babangida saw him and said, you see the Navy? That was all he said. You see the Navy? And laughed and walked away. He was retired that very moment. That hour, he was removed. They removed everything. Because in the matter of a king, because there are people to carry out the commandment. Oh, I'm sorry, Otton. He will not come and box you. No. I don't have out of our government. And he's gone. Right there, he was removed. Amen. Because he is the head of the greatest nation in Africa. Oh God, you guys, don't let Boko Haram deceive you and S-men. Nigeria is still very powerful. Nigerian commander one time, that was in Jonathan's time, he said the Nigerian government, because they were fighting Boko Haram, and they beat Boko Haram and decimated them, and he was now making comments. He said, we are not like the Nigerian soldiers that run from Boko Haram. And the Nigerian chief of army staff says, it's not your fault. If not for condition. Nigeria. In 2 hours, Nigerian army will overrun the whole of Niger. 2 hours. Give them 2 hours. Nigerian army will overrun Niger. So without this problem that is going on, you know that snake get hand and leg. The people doing Nigeria are inside Nigeria. It's not Nigerian army. Go and read the Ekuma, what Nigeria did. Malu said something to the American general that came to Nigeria. They said they wanted the philosophy of the American army. And Malu said, I'm not giving it. They said, your head of state gave the order. I said, I'm not giving it. So what war has America ever fought and restored peace there? So Nigeria went to war, two nations, and restored peace. No country in the world has ever done it. And you should not fear Nigeria. Boko Haram na story. Now, get hand and leg. They know what they are doing. Let us just be praying that God will deliver us from their hands. Nigerian army. It's not their fault. In the multitude of people is the king's honor. But in the want of people is the destruction of what?
The prince.
When the prince has no people, nobody pays attention to him. Are you with me? Nobody cares. But when the king has people around him, there is honor, there is glory, there is... You have to fall in line. Praise God. And the Bible speaks about the Lord that he is the Lord of the hosts. Praise God. He's the Lord of what? The Lord of the hosts. Bible speaks about his soul. Say, great is his. They are innumerable. And the funny thing is that what many of us don't understand is that there are two. So when the Bible talks about the church in heaven and the church on earth, that he's going to reconcile all of them together and bring them all together. Praise God. It's going to happen. Now, understand this. In the Old Testament, when David came into the battlefield, what did he say about Goliath? He said of Goliath, that who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is defying the armies of God? There were two armies on the battleground that day. But all you would have seen was one that was cowardly. There was another one in the unseen realm that was waiting for their command to move. So they just needed one man to step in, and that army would have come in. Remember when he appeared, when the Lord Jesus appeared to Joshua. Remember he appeared to Joshua when he was going to attack this place. No, the first place, that's something. Jericho. Thank you, Pastor. The man walked in with his sword drawn. And Joshua asked him, are you for our enemy or you are for us? He said, I'm neither for you nor for your enemies. I have come as the captain of the host. And the Bible said, and Joshua did him obedience. And he said, remove your shoe, for wherein you stand is holy. And Joshua worshipped him. Angels don't take worship. That man who took worship is called the precarnate Christ. And he had appeared in the Bible a number of times. Praise the Lord. Those are one of his rare appearances in the Old Testament. He's the captain of the host. So there is a host. And if you, that is a king of Israel, you are unaware that there is a natural and a supernatural host, then you are just going to use your head to play ball. Remember the days of Elisha, when the king of Syria sent his host, and the young man came out and saw all of them and said, alas, we are finished. And ran his head. This your contribution on Facebook. Look, the Syrian army is outside. What do we do? And the man would have. I'm very sure Elisha did not even look outside. He just said, Lord, open this man's eyes. Go ye me, open it. And the Lord said, okay, I will do it. And I guess the angel that was with Elisha, the bodyguard, the cherub, just touched his eyes like that, and just stopped it. And he saw angels in battle formation, filling the whole valley and the whole mountain. I said, so Ekotoi, and I've been afraid. Sir, will you drink tea? Or what do you want me to prepare for you? He became calm. The problem we have, and it's in our minds, we really do not know that we operate in two realms at the same time. You are a citizen of two worlds. You are a citizen of this world, you are a citizen of that world, and you are living in two at the same time. And you have access to the same host as all the people went before us had access to them. Praise God. But the problem is that we do not remember. We do not understand that they are there. The best we have ever heard is that goodness and mercy shall follow us. Even goodness and mercy, they are names of angels. They are not, it's not a cliche. Do you understand? It's not what? It's not a cliche. There was an angel that appeared to one man of God. It's called the angel of breakthrough. He said there was one that worked with Idahosa. That America never heard about Idahosa. He said that I worked with Idahosa, the angel of breakthrough. So angel, 200 breakthrough. Okay. All right, but you catch revelation. Hallelujah. So goodness and mercy are not names. Just a name, goodness and mercy. Okay, the reason we should say it is benediction. It's not benediction. You see, praise God. These angels can do nothing except you activate them. And what activates them are both words and your actions. I don't know whether I understand. You can't be Satan. Satan, I cast you out. Satan, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Fall down and die. The angel will do nothing. Praise God. Because, yes, you are using the name of Jesus, but your actions is betraying your fear. And they can't act in that kind of atmosphere. In the Old Testament, when Israel was to move, we are told that Moses will go to the head, will go out. When the glory cloud lifts, Moses go to the, he will lift and he will stand in front of Israel. And that's the signal that it's time for them to break camp. And Moses will stand there. And Moses will say, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. And let those who hate you be destroyed." Say, once those words come out of his mouth, those angels will move out of the camp and clear their path. Praise God. Do you understand? Now, we didn't read it. We didn't see it. But that was what actually happened. So when he said, "Lord, I go today, let your angels go before me." You may not see angels, but they've had you and they've gone ahead. You now see why you must engage your imagination. Because without your imagination, you can't see it. You know, when pastor said, we just said, thank God, God delivers from evil. Praise God. But it will begin to help us if you begin to understand that you're a man or woman of two worlds at the same time. One day, the hosts of heaven and the earth will merge and they'll become one. So what the Bible says about the church, say we are surrounded with so great cloud of what? Of weaknesses. All those weaknesses are the ones who have gone before us. They were the saints that had come in the Old Testament. Amen. Now that we are here today, time to 2021, there are saints that have died from the day of Jesus' resurrection that are also part of that cloud, and they are watching us and urging us, "You can do it." Amen. We are part and we are connected. Praise the Lord. And so you and I must realize that there's a multitude of people that this king has. And no matter the number of people that are going to hell, I believe one thing. The principle of the tithe. That I believe, it's a belief. I have no empirical data for that. Praise the Lord. I believe that God will get a tithe, minimum, of every man that has ever lived from the day of Adam to the day, last day. All of them will be in heaven. Tithe of all the people from all over the whole earth. There is no nation, there is no tongue, there is no tribe that will not have a representation in heaven. Praise God. And if we are going to reign, who are we going to be reigning over? Will there still not be nations? There will be nations. But we say the world will perish. I don't know about your definition of perish, but if there's still going to be people, it appears to me that not everybody is going to really die. That's my own theory. Praise God. But when we get there, we'll deal with the problem. Praise God. One last thought, and then I will go. My time is far spent. So, a king has honor because of the people. And unfortunately, like somebody said, I want to finish that thought there. Somebody said Nigeria has the largest population of Christians, born-again Christians, at least in Africa. And we are more than those of them in Europe. But our country is still upside down. And every social media group I belong to, the church is they bash the church as if they just bash the church anyhow. I've never seen anybody abuse a babalawo. Abiegbori. You have come across your people that they say, all these babalawo, they are evil. Even we all know that babalawo does all this charm for Yahoo Yahoo. Has the government ever promulgated a law that they should catch? Have you seen police going to arrest babalawo? Who are they looking for? It's the student they're looking for, the people they can put there. But the babalawo they will not go and touch. Amen. Have you had them abuse any imam? It's the pastor they're always abusing. Who should be one? It's not their fault. Maybe one day just say Now your mouth, let lightning help me arrange your mouth. Not like we're just going to be able to be afraid. Praise God. Maybe one day we might get there. But before we get there, before we can execute judgments, we also must have judged ourselves. And to be able to do self-examination and deal with ourselves, we can't deal with the world. We can't deal with the world. Until your righteousness is fulfilled, you cannot execute judgments. Now, the last thought I want to pass across. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:24, one of the major things about a king is the riches at his disposal. What did I say? Riches. One of the things that makes the Oni to appear more powerful than the Alafi of Oyo is not age, primarily. And it's not who can command the most respect in the realm of the spirit. I don't know, sir. If it's about spiritual power, I think the Alafi should have more of that. But who cares? Who cares? You have anointing and you are trekking around town. Nobody cares about your anointing. But you don't have anointing, you have car. And you have jeep. Even the Bible says so. A man, how did they put it now in Proverbs? A man that has a servant is better than he that boasts of great things and has no servant. I don't know if you come across that in Proverbs. You say, I'm a big man. But we look, he doesn't have a servant. He's not paying salaries for anybody. Father Mbaka was talking to Shehu Gaba. Said, I pay salaries of about 24,000 people every month. Say, what have you done for anybody? That's heavy. Say, I pay salaries. Maybe it's 2,000 or 24,000. You want to do? No, Father Manier. Kilo she. And if these Catholic fathers, just go, it's gosh, yeah. But they said it and nobody disputed it. That's why he has that kind of followership. So you don't joke. What makes Bishop Oedeopo talk? His followership. Oh, they're low. You can abuse it, but the man has money. If I talk today, they will exhume the whole of PGT and arrange everything in one stack. I call well, blessed be God. If I roar like Oedeopo, it's because there's money in the account. I'm not talking about $10,000. It's not $10,000. You know how much they sell aeroplane? Aeroplane. This man, I don't know. He said he came, he was in the bathroom, he was in the toilet, he was poo-poo loshi. And he got the special to buy the airplane and came to church Saturday, not Sunday, and raised offering to buy plane, and Monday they bought the plane. Levels different from level. Even as rich as, who is rich? Even Dangote will not did they buy plane like that. Amen. He will consider the cost. This man bought plane and sent his driver to go and learn how to fly the plane. And stop paying the driver in naira, start paying the driver in dollars. Oh, look. You now know why the devil can talk. That's the difference. That's what makes a king a king. His power, his money, he has it. Praise God. That's why the Shehu of Borno cannot make noise like the Emir of Kano. Can't make noise because one is loaded. And the Oba Akari cannot talk like the one in Sokoto. It's money. How they came about the money is not the issue. That's a different ballgame entirely. Praise God. But the issue is that what makes a king a king is that he must have access to resources. Why was Solomon held in so much honor? Solomon had, the Bible says, he had great riches. And the funny thing about riches is that it attracts riches from elsewhere. You know, people find pleasure to be giving money to the person who's rich. And they don't give money to the person who's poor. And it's, eh? No, it's not even that. I think the reason I don't give the poor that, I didn't get anything from it. like I just threw my money away. Yet the Bible says, he that giveth to the rich shall be poor. The same Solomon, look out. Because, I don't know, riches just attract. Look, listen to me. Don't let me lie to you. I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not. The day you have 100 million, the governor will know you. I don't know what is about money. Maybe we'll do a diagnosis on money. The thing will just draw them. Please, if you can raise 20 million for me, I want to contest 2023. No. I think that's the problem. But it will make noise. We will shake them. We will, Olepalo. 20 million. I will buy 2 Tokumbo cars. By the time I get some thugs to run around town and be shouting, hey, they will call me to a meeting. They come. I hear you are making noise. I say, just said to me. And I'll give you all my followers. That's all. They will settle with 100 million. I've used 20 million to get to 100 million. I'm okay. Praise God. That was just by the way. Amen. And I guess you enjoyed it. This Jesus, what makes him powerful is that he has all the riches, both the physical and the spiritual, in his hands. Hallelujah. He's not a poor person at all. At all. What makes him even more dangerous is that he can create any kind of wealth from nothing. It's not magic. He will just say, become gold. It's gold you want. Become gold. It will become full gold. Shoto. Praise God. Unlike Satan that has to be run up and down and be mining it, he doesn't need to do all that. Praise God. So this kingdom has resources. It's loaded powerfully. So that's why you and I should never be poor or lack. Because he's a double-breasted one. You cannot exhaust his resource. As he's rich in the natural things, he's also rich in the things of the spirit. Praise God. The fullness of him have we received. Grace of grace. You can't exhaust it. So he's very, very rich. And so we see that these are the little emblems of his kingdom. That you and I, see, when we and I understand it and we begin to announce it and begin to harness and begin to project it, it's part of the power of the kingdom. Because we need to demonstrate it. Amen. Not necessarily the naira and kobo, because basically I'm not here, I will not encourage you to contest with or compete with Dangote. There's no reason to compete with them. There's nothing we can do now that can impress Dangote. Praise God. But there's something that Dangote cannot deal with. He can't deal with sin and death. Are you with me? You become so rich in life that right before him you will swallow up death in victory. Then he will bow. And I said, who is your God? Then you can talk to him. I don't know whether I'm making sense. So there are, but it's, a time will come when these things will be
will become naturally like yours. Of course, we know this as we go off. The real one will be ours. And I know the Lord of heaven will help us in Jesus' name. God bless you. Hallelujah. Any questions before we pray? Any question? Okay. Okay. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Good evening, everyone. I wanted to ask the question, because I asked this question last time I asked the question. I can't remember, sir. I'm trying to ask this question about a man that dies and then goes to heaven. I think the conclusion was that the learning will still go on.
Can you hear it properly? Even without my microphone.
Is the mic?
Bring that microphone. Come and take this one.
Take it too. Yes, sir. All right. I was saying that I asked the question last time, and the conclusion was that a man that dies without having fully attained eternal life was still going to learn, you know, was still going to learn the life. I think.
For me, that question, get at the deep. So you are not fully attained eternal life.
Sorry, I'm just trying to use my words to, you know, explain what I'm trying to say. But I've already asked that question already. I've already asked that question already. But I think the conclusion was that the man is still going to, after he dies, he's still going to learn. That was the conclusion that after I asked the question, you know, you gave. And then I was now listening to what you said. You said that some people will be gatekeepers, some people will not have the capacity to, you know, dish out judgment, something like that. I was trying to, and then I was now looking at it, how does that fall in place? Because if somebody has not learned God, like throughout this whole, like he has not fully learned, I don't know how to use that word, but then he has not fully learned the nitty-gritties of God in this time, and then he now goes or dies. We concluded that he's going to learn. But then, it now seems like, from what you said this evening, your mic is the other way around. So,
praise the Lord.
All right. So, it seems like what you said this evening, it seems like it's still just going to be short there. Like, it's still going to be, like, gatekeeper. The way you know, analyze that.
I was playing, no. I don't know what position they will give him. Some people say that if I only can be gatekeeper, I think they got that one from David. That gatekeeper.
Yes.
I don't know.
No, I'm not been there. I'm using that as an analogy. Because if he's going to still learn, that means he will still progress, right? But yes. If he's going to stay there, like he's not going to learn anything. He's just going to go to heaven and appear the way he ended in earth.
Let me say this. Don't let us go far. Because you're having difficulty even, you know, bringing that revelation forth from the spirit realm. Every day, if there's a day in that realm, angels are learning. God is not static. God is ever expanding. Are you with me? So the Bible says his love is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Bible speaks about the church, that we are supposed to be to show forth the multidimensional aspect of his wisdom. In other words, the wisdom of God that they saw in the days of Adam is not what the angels have been seeing in that time. It's like God for them is unpredictable. So he will do something and the angel say, ha. While they are still saying, ha, he has done another one. They say, ha, ha, ha. After a while, I guess they have just said, ha. Their mind has been, ha. Permanently. Because it's always coming up with something new. And everything is done in righteousness. Everything is consistent with his nature. Are you with me?
Even the 420 elders that sit down there, it's not as it were that they're just there and they'll be eating, you know, they'll be bringing wine. I don't like jam, my chicken. They also will be watching and be learning. Why do you think the angels that surround that throne, is it seraphims or cherubims? I think it's seraphims. That of glory. That they cry, they keep right, so because they stand like that and they are like facing God. They are looking into the glory. And they keep saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Then they start again. You know why? It's not as if, or to wind, or, you know, I don't know why you guys played with that kind of toy. I wind it over here. How come I repeat it? No, it's not that. Because they are seeing something. That they look at him, and the only response they can come up with is, holy, holy. While they are finishing the third holy, another version of holiness is coming forth. And they have no choice. And they have been saying that since they were made. They are still saying it today. Tomorrow, for all of you, are you with me? That tells you how, talking about the depth, the breadth, the height. It's, I tell you that it's, you cannot comprehend. You can't, it's incomprehensible. And I don't think we will ever get to a point where we will comprehend and finish. I said, is there any other ref? Tell me again. I think I'll go well. And that's where Lucifer came to. So that I've seen everything. There's nothing again. There's no big deal. And he looked at him. And I believe God was like an AC. You know, I used to say that. Just sat down there, very boring God. Satan is included with about 9 gemstones. God was looked upon like one stone. Sapphire stone. And by nature, we compare ourselves by brightness. And when you when Brother Lucifer comes in, an angel says, have you seen Michael Jackson? When he sings and girls, oh, and they just fade. I was panoing me. I used to wonder, close your eyes. Praise God. And through the faint, God help you. Michael touch you. You are going straight to intensive care. Because your heart will cease. You just stop working. Praise God. So when Lucifer comes in, the angels held him in awe. And he looked at God. Well, are you bright now? Because if there were no possibility of him overthrowing God, he would not have attempted it. The possibility was very high. And he had calculated it. I can take this man out. But the bad thing about God is that he doesn't need to get up. His mere thought will fight you. He has not even called Michael and the rest to come and fight. He thought the last time I wonder what my job. You know, I want those horse fight. You'll be fighting his thought and you fight, and you can fight like that for all of eternity, and you will still not have moved. You'll be doing other things while you are fighting that one. And that is what he's fighting with. He's fighting with thought. God just thought it. I will make man in my image. He's still fighting it. And I saw him move God. He has not, one sweat has not broken from his brow. He's not perturbed. He's not moved. Okay. I thought it was just bad people. So, what happens after a man, I've not died before. Praise God. And I'm not hoping to die soon. But I'm only trying to stir up our appetite. Go study. Go search. As you come across scriptures, it will start opening your eyes. I just want you to know that there is more to staying with God and than what the church has either to portray for us. There's so much more. It says, eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Nay, it has not come into the heart of man. What God has in mind. Even Paul, them don't know it. He didn't reveal it. That's where so if you can trust him, I said, if he has said it, for that reason, I will keep myself from evil. I'll keep myself from pollutions. Just for me to lay hold upon that thing that he said, that is going to be his joy, that he will now open himself up. Listen, joy, the joy that we will come into is indescribable. I don't know how many of you have ever been tickled before. Have you been tickled before? Did you get your breaking point? That you start crying? That you cry. The joy will turn to tears. And if care is not taken, you can have heart attack. Yes. As simple as tickliness can kill you. I've watched the film. I told you, I watched the film. That the guy said, "You can, if you would like, touch on me, Japanese, touch on me, I will not talk." But that they took feather on his leg and tickled him. He poured out every secret. Amen. I look forward to that time. That is part of what is encouraging us to move ahead. Praise the Lord. Any other? All right. Brotai, then Manuel. Okay. Oh, okay. Since you are with her, who am I giving?
Thank you so much, sir.
Hallelujah.
Okay. My question. And when you started, you mentioned that salvation is how it all began. That boy.
Pardon?
You mentioned that people said the greatest thing that God did for us was salvation.
You say so.
You think salvation is just the start, that dominion is where we're working. My major question now is, okay, then you mentioned all these attributes of a powerful kingdom. Now, can one, as a saint, begin to legislate on this ground? Now, I do understand now, and it's okay if I'm wrong, I would like to be corrected, that one of the grounds where we legislate is in the place of prayer. Now, if peradventure you're looking forward to taking a sector of, say, the nation for the Lord.
You want to take the seven mountains. All right, I get that, I get that.
So, amen. Can you, in the place of prayer, given the fact that we understand that our ground is that, one of our major benefits is that we are above principalities and powers, and that's where we can one with all this knowledge stay on that ground prayerfully now and legislate?
See, you cannot legislate if the judgments have not been written. There's a problem. I will answer that question. There is a problem with what we call prayer. Prayer is about petitioning primarily. But there's another aspect that is not prayer, that is basically the place of commanding. When you come against a rock that is standing in your path, you don't pray. Jesus Christ, you shall say to this rock. He didn't say you shall pray. I don't know whether you understand me. He said, be thou removed and be thou cast. He did not say, Father, remove this rock for me in Jesus' name. He wouldn't do it. Because that is not what you were supposed to do at that instance. Praise the Lord. When it comes to battle, and a demon is before you. In fact, I learned that when you are praying for deliverance, you don't close your eyes. It's wrong. And you don't lay hands upon a demonic person. It's not right. We've done it, and God has been gracious to us, but it is not right. Jesus never laid hands upon any demonic person. What did he do? He spoke. Come out of him. He said, if you say, and you don't doubt, but believe what you have said, he said, it shall be what? Shall be done. You don't pray in that instance. But I can engage God and say, I want my brother to be saved. Lord, have mercy. I am praying. Are you with me? But when it now comes to the issue of King Ahab is misbehaving, I have to go to the legal book and look for the sin he has committed and find the judgment that has been written against that sin and go there and say, now I'm not praying. I'm standing in the place. Are you with me? In the place of judgment. And I say, I therefore decree. So and so, because of this and this, therefore I command. You are not praying. Now, if you want to now take the seven mountains, What the people who taught that did not understand is that there are princes that sit on those thrones. You don't legislate those ones. Because Jesus told again, said, your confrontation will be with these small, small, localized demons. He said, but those princes of the air, he said, I will take care of them. What you can do is go to the throne room and stand in the presence of God and demand that God should execute judgment against them. Of course, you must bring your strong reasons why you want them removed. Now, if they remove them, who will take over? Do you have the manpower to take over and take over? Okay, let's just assume we want to remove the demon that is fighting in the Nigerian army that is making money and they are killing people. We know those are demons and they are in combination. There's a spirit of Islam. There's a spirit of Mammon. There's a bloodthirsty spirit of Molech. Molech can all sacrifice someone. They sacrifice children to him. They are sacrificing many of our children to that spirit. There's a combination of spirits. Also, it's not one spirit you are fighting. And you cannot alone go and fight them. So when people say, let us pray for Nigeria, I ask you, what is your prayer point? I'm not trying to be religious, but that's the truth. Say, Lord, take care. That's why Nigeria has not been saved, because we don't know what we are even fighting. And if we fight, who's going to take over and run the show? I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Somebody must be there to run through. When Elijah placed judgment upon Ahab, Jehu was there to take over. You don't leave a power vacuum. Jehu must be there. Do you know who Jehu is? These are stories that are there for you to understand the dynamic workings in the earth realm. If you don't know it, you just be talking, Lord, everyone will just be looking at you like this. He lacks understanding. And there's nothing they can do. So when we are reading these things, let us know that they are reflections of a reality. Remember, which I didn't say, Isaiah chapter 6. He said he came into the throne room and saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the whole temple. And he saw all those people talk. And the Lord uttered a voice, said, who will go for us? Remember that in the days of Ahab, there was also a similar situation. When God said, who will go to and deceive and bring him to battle? That is the kind of transaction that takes place in that throne room. Can you enter that throne room? Do you have the authorization to enter? Is your capacity strong to enter? Or how do we discern when the king asks us, take your bow and hit the ground? Do you know what he's trying to do? Do you understand? But Elisha expected that the king will know what he was asking him to do. But he didn't know. He just took 1, 2, 3. And Elisha was angry. He said, Kai, if you have done it about 7 times, you have prevailed. How was the king supposed to know? But he was supposed to know. Can you learn lessons from that? Look, listen to me. If we want us to engage kingdom, we must go and master the book of Kings. 4, 2, and Chronicles. We must master Daniel. Because those are reflection of what actually happens in the spirit realm. Praise the Lord. So, for me, yes, we can take those mountains. But do you have the capacity to stand? Because when Elijah left, Elisha effectively handled those 3 kingdoms. And made sure that those kings did not step out of line. I don't know whether you understand. If we remove Buhari, who is going to take over? Jagaba? Are we not back to square 0? We'll start it all over again. So that's why I just said that I think she will Monday. You can still play. That's why I don't bother myself, because if I write this thing on Facebook, they will abuse me. So keep watching my sort of out. Amen. The Lord will help us. So my dear sister, are you okay? All right. You have another question? Okay. Oh, God bless you. Brother, can you give me the mic?
Praise God.
But sorry, Brother, but we can keep on praying. One of the effects of us getting our acts together is that a revival is coming. And that revival must take the shape of what happened in Ephesus. We must dislodge the prince over Asia. And that was Diana. Diana controlled the social system, controlled the educational system. All those 7 years we're talking about, those are princes controlling them. But the only way we can do that is that we must change the heart of men. All of you here, without you realizing, you have subscribed, and without you knowing, you are following a prince, without you knowing. Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 2 speaks about it. Prince of the power of the air that works in the children of disobedience. When you see disobedience in your heart, and you are disobedient, simple instruction, you have aligned with a prince, without you realizing. You are shouting, I'm Lord Jesus, but you are actually serving a prince. Until the heart of men shifts from them, and we break the allegiance we have for them, those demons move forward. You can pray till now, till tomorrow. Why do you think I'm not facing you? Shimon, I'm not facing you. Why do you think Elijah was discouraged? Elijah showed, where has it been written in the annals of God that a man summoned fire? He said, let the God answer by fire, let him be God. He poured water on the sacrifices and God came and consumed the whole sacrifice. And the whole Israel bowed and said, the Lord God is God. Hallelujah. The next day, the same people that went to say, Lord God is God, went to eat at the table of Jezebel. They went back again to follow Jezebel. And when they came, Jezebel said, one of them were in the temple mount. Enjoy. I'm not there, Elijah alone, sir. I call politics, I'm playing, I'm not there alone. Believe where Elijah was challenging me. Mommy, I'm at Dalo. Olori Brook Elijah. I got my quick with the down. And one of them that was eating ran to Elijah. Okay, I had that guy was among them that ate too. So yesterday I was there. Jezebel said, I swore to God that by this time tomorrow, if I don't take your head, and Elijah saw it. He saw the way the sword came and took his head. He saw the way the heads were doing bang, bang, and the pastor and Elijah fled. He said, I'm not better than my father. Miracle will not change men. It takes a power that can shift men's hearts. That's what we're supposed to attack. Not that we want to dislodge those princes. It will be a wrong strategy. You follow me. Just ask the Lord to shift the heart and take them. That's why the Bible said that we have to send Elijah so he can turn the heart of the children back to the fathers and fathers back to. So lest he comes and smites the earth with a curse. His heart. Leave those guys alone. Just shift heart. They will fall. Praise God. Roti.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In Book of Psalms 45, where you refer to that Jesus has the scepter of righteousness,
Ben,
which gives him authority over everything and every soul. Now, and I want to ask, since Jesus has authority over every soul, why is it not difficult that when we preach to some unbelievers, it looks as if we've been preaching to them like several months and it seems nothing is happening. And we actually know that they are so Jesus has authority over all the souls. Why is it not that the words are not coming? Why is it not changing them? It still looks as if nothing has been preached to them. Why is their soul still in that state despite ministering to them?
The most reasonable explanation I can give you, or the most obvious explanation, or reason rather, is that as powerful as he is, he will not override our wills. For him to override our wills, will no longer be righteous. He would have broken the principle of righteousness. Are you with me? Because he has chosen to respect you. He doesn't violate your will. Amen. That's why if a man forcefully sleeps with a woman, what would they say he has done? He has raped her because he has violated her. Now, not because the girl does not like him, but the girl is not ready for anything beyond I like you. Do you follow me? But he has forced his will on her. And that's what Satan does. He rapes us. He violates our will. Even when we don't want to do it, there's a way he gets us to do what he wants to do. That's one reason. The other example that, you know, came into my mind about why people will not. You see, when Jesus left this earth and he said, all authority has been given to me. And he said, go. He told again, he said, I relinquished all authority to my church. So it's up to them to do whatever they want to do with it. Now that scripture that says whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven is not accurate in that way it was written. The accurate interpretation of it is whatever has been bound in heaven will be bound on earth. Are you with me? It is what has been bound that you can bind. It is what has been loose you can loose. If heaven has not bound it and you go and start losing it, you are wasting time. So the question therefore is, when you go out to preach, did you take time to bring that soul before heaven and bring it under the power of conviction? Then that brings you to the story of, is it Tell Osborne that went to India? Tell Osborne went to India as a missionary, and that was what he taught in America. He was singing Christian songs, he was playing. Like so they said, we should come and do concert with you. I'm thinking about it. Maybe that's not going to work. Hallelujah. And after he had done it, the Indians laughed at him. They laughed. They ridiculed him. Because the Indians are used to the supernatural. And then what can your God do? And they ridicule your... Hey, want me to leave my God and come and follow a God that you're singing, Jesus loved the latitude. I break out of this place. And he came back to America depressed. He was really, really messed up. And locked himself up and began to cry to God, what happened? And Jesus appeared to him in the room and said, go back. Sorry, I will break your... I said, go back. He now went back in the power of the Spirit. And like they say, everything became history. The same people that ridiculed him were the people who gave their life to Christ. Praise God. Paul said that I did not come to you with the enticing words of what? Of man's wisdom. But what? The demonstration of the Spirit and power. We don't have too much of that. So that's why they are laughing at us. Reverend Agirifem Agiri said of the day, he was talking to a woman, the woman Asele, and he was arguing with her spiritual. And they argued and argued, and there was no headway. Agiri said, may we pray? We'll pray. Then he started praying. And Agiri began to speak in the spirit. And before you know, he just enters tongues. Tongues of men and angels. Real tongues, though. Not the one we are saying, no. Not the kabaka. Original. So at that time, the lady stopped praying. I was like, and he said he spoke like that for about an hour. Man, and when he finished, in Jesus said, who taught you that language? He said, what language? He said, you were speaking classical Greek. Because the woman was a bilingual secretary. She studied classical Greek. Say, from the beginning of your tongue to the end, you were just declaring the wonders of God in Greek. And the person who was speaking it did not know what he was saying, but just speaking in spirit. That's how the woman gave her life to Christ. We are born again by force name. Praise God. So yours God has said, Jesus loves you. The guy just like, get out of my front, or Jesus, love Lamba is on me. Do you follow me? It's more so that a person grew up with the understanding that there's something called love. You can't pray that kind of message to him. You need something more powerful. And that can only come by you
engaging the spirit. It's still a demonstration. We have to learn the demonstration of the power. Praise God. Not necessarily raise the dead. When Abonke went to Kano and all kinds of wonderful miracles happened, when I came to giving their life to Christ, they said it was not Jesus that saved us, it was the white man that saved us. They went back to their mosque. They didn't change. So I know that it's not a miracle. That heart will shift. And that is another level of power. Praise God. We need the whole combination, the whole combo. And it's still wisdom. Are you with me? You see what? She may need a demonstration of power to be saved. She may need wisdom to be saved. He may need I love you message to be saved. So you need the skills of the Spirit to know, Lord, how do I approach this matter? How do I talk to this person? The Lord may just tell you, go and hug him. And you hug him and the guy breaks down and starts crying. Now, he will not tell you to go and hug another person. You can even say, slap him. Please don't go and try it. Buyer beware. I'll descend you. But it depends on what the Holy Spirit will tell you to do. We've not learned that. We just go, okay, they say we should do evangelism. Go and do evangelism. You may even get there and the Lord say, don't preach to him. Walk away. I said, but he was the one that said I should go and preach to the all that has. He said, walk away. If you don't walk away, your leg and your eye will see whatever it is you will see. Paul wanted to go where was he planned to go to? He was going to go to Asia. And he said, and the Holy Ghost forbade. The word forbade, as I said, the Holy Ghost put his foot down and said no. And I was like, but it was he that said he should go to the world and preach the word. But he said, I said no. He was like, okay, I am here now. What do you want me to do? And the Lord did not say anything until the night time. He saw a man dressed in the clothes of a Macedonian, which is Europe. He said, come to Macedonia and help us. Then he came and woke up and told his ministerial team, I had a dream while I prayed. I don't know what we will go, where we will go again. And they said they now all decided that maybe the Lord is saying we should go to Europe. That's how the gospel came to Europe. And did not go to Asia. I don't know whether you understand. So it's the one who is the Lord of the harvest. We must never go into the harvest without going with him. And without getting technology to go. It's a skill we must acquire. We must develop. We must practice until the thing shakrakra. I heard the story of Brother Bonke. He was a missionary. He has been in Africa for years. Nobody heard of him. He was a nobody. He was just going preaching, and nobody was just there faithfully. One day, Holy Ghost, he got to one. I don't know where. Said, go and hire the stadium. Said stadium. I'm not trying to preach to people in one small place. He has said stadium. Say, go and hire the stadium. Then he make it go and say, of course I should go and hire the stadium. People are like, go and do what? Said they should go and do crusade. They like laughed at him. He hired it. First day, I think rain fell. People didn't come. Second day, I think it was the third day, miracles broke out. But of course, the following day, the stadium was jacked full. That's how Nabonke broke into the supernatural. Because Holy Ghost said, go hire a stadium. But he has been there faithfully, faithfully. We're watching a testimony. I don't know if I'm talking too much. How about I'm not talking too much? A testimony of a man that had COVID. He was dying of COVID. And he began to preach. And nobody could enter. Because it was like, they didn't know. That was when COVID got to Europe. It was Italy. Was it Italy or what country was that? I don't remember. It was Spain. I don't know. It was Spain. And he was praying, God, have mercy. Don't let me die like this. And a cleaner came by and stood at the door and began to talk with him about Jesus. He said, I've been a missionary in Nigeria for 14 years. So I just came back. And I've seen God do marvelous things in my ministry. So I believe God can heal you. And that night, that cleaner prayed. And he said that thing changed. He began to go into remission. The sickness began to go back. And said by morning he was craving for food. I was not supposed to be able to eat. He began to crave for food. Said, Lord, I'm hungry. I want prawns.
Igbani and Coca-Cola. It was giving us specific menu list. And the following day, the cleaner came with exact menu list. Then the Lord told me to buy you this. Said, so God can be this precise. And after he got well, he didn't see the cleaner again. How far? Well, there will be surprises. The Lord will have mercy. I'll take your question last. No more. Romano. So let us develop those skills. Doesn't come again. That man was there for 40 years. He left his family, went to Africa, came to Nigeria, a missionary. Some of you, go to, follow us to, Pastor, we want to do Kadem Young in Ileluji. When we say come and do Kadem Young in Futa, we didn't see any of you. And you want to carry glory. There's God.
All okay. Right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question is as regards the pastor, you talked about righteousness as Christ's scepter. And you related it to casting out of demons. So I wanted to ask, is righteousness all there is to casting out of demons?
No. But it's a platform. Basically, the habitation of his throne is righteousness and justice. The foundation that throne rests upon. That's Old Testament. It's righteousness and justice. The foundation of your authority is righteousness. Are you with me? So that's where we start. Then we talk about your understanding. Then we talk about what I've said, your capacity to stay in the presence of God, your relationship, your understanding. So many things now goes into it. Okay. Are you with me?
Yes. So, okay. So if righteousness is the foundation, how come there were still workers of iniquity? When Jesus was saying, so people will come to me saying, we casted out devils in your name, and so if righteousness is a foundation, how could they...
I'm talking about you. Are you a worker of iniquity?
Sir?
Are you a worker of iniquity?
I don't think...
No, I'm not talking to workers of iniquity. I'm talking to you. For you, your foundation is righteousness. Okay. For those... See, of course, I said other things is involved. Your understanding, faith is also very important. Faith is very important. By faith, those guys were casting out devils, but they were not living right. So it's possible that you can cast out devils without living right. Eventually, of course, I don't want to go into all the full into demonology, but I know that demons can accommodate you and lead you on a path of destruction, giving you a first impression that you are okay. You cast them out, they will jump out. They will organize another one to come to you. You will spend all your life casting out devils without paying attention to your own soul. Because in this fight, all is fair. Are you with me? There's going to be there'll be some demons sent to you to make sure that you live. Roughly. You live anyhow. Another demon will be in charge of your ministry to make sure that you always get miracles done. You think it's Holy Ghost, but there are demons that are there. Religious spirits. So it's a whole level of conspiracy. The only way to avoid entering that conspiracy is to stay right. Do you follow me? Otherwise, you will enter that trap. You will get results, but you will lose your soul. So in order not to lose your soul and still serve God, live righteously. Are you with me? And living righteously will also require that, how do I put it down? It's like they put you in a straight jacket. You have your capacity to maneuver is limited. Your life is regimented. You are not allowed to do many things others will do. I don't know whether you understand me. That's part of what righteousness entails. You can't just go. You go fight on the streets, or you go and watch porno and come back and say, cast you out in Jesus' name. The demons will follow you, but they will destroy you. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So to help us to stay on the right path. That's what they call righteousness. You stay on the right path. The Bible says the path that leads to glory is narrow. Only few can walk on it. That's the problem, many of you. You don't want to walk on that narrow path. You still want to carry all your baggages along, all because you want to enjoy part of this world. If you want to carry power, you must give up something. I demonstrated that this evening when Rife came to me, light, and I wanted to give him biscuits, and he was holding his spoon. I wanted to collect it with the spoon in his hand, and I said, no, you have to give up this one to collect this one. Good, thank God, he dropped his spoon. I think he came from home with his spoon, but at that moment he had to drop his spoon to get my cookie. Praise God. And I had to learn a lesson that you give up something to get God's best. You can't hold the two together. It's not possible. You can't hold this word and hold glory. It's not possible. Hallelujah. I hope I'm okay. Thanks. Can we just bless the Lord? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship. So holy name, sing like never before. Appreciate the Lord and just give glory to the Lord. The Lord is high and lifted up. The Lord is seated between the cherubims. He is the one to whom we worship. We worship Him. We worship Him with our lives. We worship Him with everything that we have. He is the King that we are patterned after. Our dominion is patterned after His dominion. Our lives are patterned after His life. He is the one that dwells on earth, far above the spice and powers. And by Him we are seated together. Oh, we reign by Him. Oh, I pray and bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Yes, we need to worship Him. For this reason we know that He who died is the same who has been raised far above the heavens. Thank you for bringing me in. He has saved me to give me a dominion. He has saved me to make me sit upon the throne with Him. He said, he that endures to the end, I will make him to sit. Can you commit yourself and say, for the joy that has been set before me, help me to endure. Help me to endure. It's a narrow path. And that narrow path demands that you and I walk in obedience. It demands that you and I walk in righteousness. It demands that you and I walk in a way pleasing, in accordance with the vocation to which we have been called. We have been called to a vocation. There's a calling upon us. Can you ask the Lord to help you to walk and walk right in the name of Jesus? Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. 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 This Lord is worthy.
This Lord is mighty. This Lord is a great teacher. Oh Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. This kingdom is a kingdom that we are representing. And we are representing the full power and the full might. We are bringing to bear upon our situation the full might of this kingdom. Its kingship, its dominion is an everlasting dominion. Oh, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when they declared to us the power and the majesty of his kingdom. No, they did not make it up. This message is true. We are inheriting a kingdom that cannot fade. We are inheriting a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. It's indestructible. Oh, we are inheriting the benefits that we are going to see it happen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lenobrauske preden antrodoste ke malenoske. Repoledra negla brabadoshe di bramoste pokahina das. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise and glory. Father, bless you.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.